So we're gonna talk about today, God willing, the six corners of the Star of David, and more than nationalistic symbol, or more than what the Star of David represents, or what it looks like in terms of representing Judaism, and in fact, in the modern state of Israel has the flag of the Magen David on it, and that is ostensibly the sign of Judaism. There's a Magen David, and just a little bit of a context, a little background on the Star of David, what it was. So they say that the warriors of King David went out to war with this Magen. With a shield that had on it the Star of David, right? And the Star of David represents the different dimensions, the different sides. And I heard like a lecture one time by a martial artist, like a, you know, that wanted to bring like, a connection between martial arts and Judaism, that King David would navigate, these six directions in terms of like certain stances and certain in a certain ways of fighting. What's interesting is that the entire Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, are found on the Star of David. And there's, I could share a pic an image of that. On the Star of David. But on a deeper level, the Star of David represents the six dimensions, which Kabbalah calls the Ze'er Anpin, the small face, which represents the six midot, the six emotional characteristics or aspects of Hashem, of the Creator, the way He created the world. And that corresponds to what we know as being the 6 days of creation. It says, Sheshet Yamim. Sheshet Yamim, right? It doesn't say B'Sheshet Yamim. 6 days represent the six sfirot, the six dimensions, which are chesed, kindness, gevurah, discipline, tiferet is harmony, netzach, fortitude, hod is acknowledgement and gratitude, and yesod is bonding. Okay? And within this paradigm of the Magen David, specifically, it's attributed to David, the King David, who represents what? Which sphera? Melech. Right? David HaMelech, King David. So we've got the six spherot, but they are used and they're handled. Almost King David is holding it in his center. King David is in the center of it. And in this paradigm of the six sides of the Star of David, it represents the six dimensions and the six parts of our consciousness. And the center represents the Shabbat, represents Malchut, represents kingship, right? Kingdom, where we enter that place, where we know that Shabbat is not just one of the days of the week, right? It's not like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Shabbat, but rather, welcome, but rather Shabbat is really at the center of the entire week. And when we view it that way, and that's actually the inner way to view Shabbat, that we receive from the energy of the first 3 days, receives from the energy of Shabbat. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we bask in the light of Shabbat, and already Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're already anticipating the next Shabbat. And that's what it says. If the Jewish people would have kept two Sabbaths, then we would have been redeemed, meaning that energy from all sides. But essentially what it is that we're in the center. Shabbat is really at the center of our life, at the center of the week. And on an internal level, on a personal level, Shabbat represents that space that is beyond the dimensions, the facets, we could say, of ourselves, the different hats that we wear, the different things that we do, that beyond even the thoughts that we have, beyond all of that, there's the internal dimension. There's the inside. And the inside is where we are centered. And within that centering, we're protected. It's like being in the center of the, in the eye of the storm. Being in the eye of the storm is that we are Malkuth, absolutely. I mean, that's what we are. So I'd like to delve into this in terms of this week's Parsha. So we're gonna delve into some interesting concepts that we have over here, because the number six repeats itself just before I mention what the Parsha says. So the number six is a very significant number. Actually, it's the number of the words that are in the Shema. Shema, Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad, one, unity. We go into a place of unity, of inner unity, to be within this number six, right? Baruch. Yes, exactly. The Shema, that the representing the six sides. Exactly, yeah. And also, there are six mitzvot. There are six commandments, which are called Shesh Mitzvot Midiot, which are ongoing mitzvot that we could always do. There are certain mitzvot that we can't do, like all the time. For like sitting in the sukkah is a nice thing, but unless it's Sukkot, for those specific 7 days, you're not getting the mitzvah. If I eat matzah now and it's not Passover, it's not the mitzvah, right? If I put on tefillin and it's the nighttime, I don't get the mitzvah, because that's not the correct time. And because we've got time and we've got place. And so basically the mitzvot, welcome. How are you, Robertson?
Thank God.
To see you. To see you. Bring the blessings of LA to us, Baruch Hashem. So we've got the six ongoing mitzvot, what are the six ongoing mitzvot? So the six ongoing mitzvot are as follows. Emuna en Hashem, belief in Hashem. Lo yelecha Elokim, not to believe in other gods, other entities, right? Yichud Hashem, the unity of Hashem, which is the Shema. Ahavat Hashem, love of Hashem. Yirat Hashem, the awe of Hashem. And lo taturu, you shall not stray after your eyes and after your heart and after your eyes. Those are six mitzvot, which we could constantly do. In other words, wherever we are, we could be walking around with it. And these six mitzvot correspond to the six corners of the Star of David. In other words, being shielded from all negativity. And the Shulchan Aruch gives us a little way of remembering the six mitzvot, tmidiyot. And it's not really a way of remembering, but it tells us you should know that there's, if you want to know how to remember how many there are, you remember this. Shesh arei miklat iyelach. There are six cities of refuge. So you want to know the six ongoing mitzvot? There are six mitzvot. There are the six cities of refuge. I'm going to repeat the six. There's six Tzfat cities of refuge. Yes, yeah, Tzfat is one, according to many opinions.
We're not sure.
Well, 1 second. So these are the six. Emuna in Hashem, belief in Hashem, not having other gods, thinking of other gods, unity of Hashem, love of Hashem, awe of Hashem, and not straying after your heart and after your eyes. Those are the six ongoing mitzvot. And by the way, we also have what is called the six remembrances, where we have the six, which there's a custom to remember these six things, six items, right? Not getting in too many directions, because I really want to like focus this on something, but just to give you a sense of how important the number six is, but even more so the number seven, which is where we enter when we do enter the six ongoing mitzvot. In other words, the six ongoing mitzvot are meant to protect us, very much like the Star of David, shielding us. Because when you have emunah in Hashem, when you don't stray after other gods, when you have that sense of unity, and you have that sense of awe, and you don't follow after your eyes, well, guess what? You are protected. The Yetzer Hara has nowhere to go, is not going to attack you, because you are focused and you're invested in the right places. And even more so, what allows us to really be invested in it is that central place where we're going into. And that's what the sages tell us to remember this. This is the six cities of refuge. In other words, you could go close to a city of refuge, but unless you enter it, you're not protected. So basically, if we're not entering these mitzvot, which are called mitzvot of the mind and the heart, and how do you enter them? They're not technical, they're not physical. They require a spiritual exercise. There is require something more. In other words, you can't fake it that I have emunah. You can't fake it that you have love. You can't fake it that you have awe. You can't fake it that you are not looking at other gods or whatever it is. You can't fake it because God knows. You cannot fake you have to enter it, and you have to do the work to try to enter this space. And that's what the sages tell us. Enter the city of refuge.
But the awe is not the awe of fear, it's the awe of realizing the awesomeness.
Yes, well, there's different levels of awe, which we're going to discuss now. There's different levels of awe. There's a lower level of awe, which is called awe of punishment.
But that would be more like fear.
Yeah. Fear of, here it says yira sasham. And there's within awe, or yira, there's lower yira and higher yira. You know, it's good enough if you could hold your space and have lower fear. Like that's what Rabbi Yochanan said to his students before he passed. Like he started to cry and he said, I'm crying because I realize that if I would have fear of man, of another human looking at me and knowing what I'm really thinking or doing, whatever, so I'm embarrassed to act in that way. But in front of Hashem, I don't have that same level of fear. So a lower level of fear is still like a high level, because it holds us back from, you know, from bottom line, So I want to get into the Parsha. So in this week's Parsha, Parshat Re'eh, which the Baal Shem Tov says about this Parsha, Re'eh, see, Anochi, see me, see my essence. I'm giving in front of you, Bracha Uklala, Re'eh, Anochi. And the Baal Shem Tov says that see, and the Degel Machne Ephraim, who is the Baal Shem Tov's grandson, says that, My grandfather said, in the name of the Ramak, that a person should look at themselves as a chariot for Hashem, that we are a chariot for Hashem, that Hashem resides within us. We're a mishkan for Hashem, and within us there is, you know, we have our mind and we have our heart, we have our good inclination, our negative inclination, yetzer tov, yetzer hara. But within that, we have our godly soul, and the godly soul within us is Anochi, Re'eh Anochi Noten Lifnechem. I'm placing myself, my essence, Lifnechem Hayom, today, right now, right here, in the moment, in this very moment, I am within you. Re'eh Anochi Noten Lifnechem Hayom. Like right now, I'm not here yesterday or tomorrow. I'm here right now, in this moment. Right now, my essence is found and is present. And that's what I want you to realize. That's what the Baal Shem Tov teaches. So the Parsha is called Re'eh. And within this Parsha, there's a number of different things that are going on. One of them is called the false prophet. There's an incident. There's a type of a person who is a false prophet. There are such people. They're called Navi HaSheker, a false prophet. What does the Navi HaSheker do? He prophesizes that this and that and the other thing is going to happen. But God didn't really send him to do that. And this is a very grave, serious offense. To a Navi Sheker is a grave offense, which is obviously detrimental to the entire Jewish people, because in the Rambam says one of the tenets of Judaism is to know that God prophesizes, gives prophecy to human beings. And he gave it to Moses, he gave it to Moshe, he gave it to the great prophets, and he gave it and through different ways of learning. Nowadays, we receive that knowledge through deducing it through knowledge, which is found within the Torah. So when this prophet comes along and he undermines this whole system, he undermines the entire connection that we have to Hashem. And therefore, it's one of the most serious offenses that the Gemara, the Talmud in Sanhedrin says that, you know, if someone spots this person with two witnesses, then they have to bring him up to Lishkata Gazit, up to the high court in the Temple Mount, and he's judged by the 71 court. In other words, like going up to the Supreme Court to make a case of it. And it's one of the things that that this person, if he's found guilty, they are killed, and they are basically it's something which is publicly known, and it must be publicly known that what happens to this person, although it may sound cruel or but this is something that is looked at as a very serious thing. And so the verse talks about this false prophet, and the verse says, "Lo tishmal divrei hanavi," you shall not listen to this prophet, or to this dreamer. Ki menaseh Hashem Elokechem etchem ladat ha'yishchem ohavim et Hashem Elokechem mechol levavchem mechol nafshechem. Because you should know that God is testing you if you truly love Hashem with all of your heart and all of your soul. And in the time of the first temple, the prophet Jeremiah was prophesizing not such happy, hunky-dory prophecies, to say the least. And this other prophet comes along and gives to the mainstream like all these nice prophecies, and Yirmiyahu is like, of course everyone's going to want to listen to you, you know, because and not only that, if I'm wrong, then it's not a sign that I'm a false prophet, because God could change his mind from being bad to being good. But if you're wrong and you're prophesizing all these good things and they don't come about, that's a sign that you're a false prophet. That's what Jeremiah said to him. And it's a test of the mainstream, of the people, to see if they're really in line, really in sync with Hashem. And the word is menaseh. God is giving the people a nisayon. What's a nisayon? Test. It's a test. So the next verse says as follows. Achre Hashem Elokechem Telechu. You should go after Hashem. Ve'oto tirau. And you shall fear him. Ve'et mitzvotav tishmor. And you should keep his mitzvot. Uvekolo tishmor. And you should listen to his voice. Ve'oto ta'avodu. And you should worship him. Work him. Uvotid bakun. And you shall cling onto him. These are six expressions that start off with, after Hashem, you shall walk, you shall follow. Ve'oto tirau, you shall fear or have awe of him. Ve'et mitzvotav tishmor, you shall keep his mitzvot. Uvekolo tishmor, you should listen to his voice. Ve'oto ta'avodu, you shall worship, you shall work him. Uvotid bakun, you shall cling on to him. So in the work of the Alter Rebbe, he explains, what are these six expressions? Why can't it just say like, okay, God is testing you guys. Just don't look at him. Just try better, right? But it's not enough. And it's not only, it gives us six levels of expression of what we need to do to protect ourselves. Again, the shield of David, to protect ourselves. Because we are, there's an influx of challenge, of confusion, which is happening in the in the media, in the mainstream, on the news, right? All the time, right? We are tested by what is happening outside of us and what is happening inside of us, how we perceive the things that are happening outside of us and inside of us, and how we react to them.
Sorry, what do we call prophecy? Saying anything that will happen in the future or something else?
Prophecy is everything that happens in the future.
So whenever a person says something, this and that will happen in the future, it's a prophecy?
Well, if it,
it was like they're claiming to be.
Yeah, prophet. you can.
Like anything, claiming. Like I could just say like it's gonna rain tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'd have to say
that's not a prophecy. I mean, you're making a prediction, you know, but a prophet is someone that sees, a true prophet is someone that sees the future, sees what's going to happen. They have a vision of what's happening. And based on that, they are able to lead and govern the people. And this is what happened in the times of the prophets here in the land of Israel, where we had prophets that were giving us, you know, the lowdown, whether we wanted to listen or not. And a lot of time the people did not want to heed what the prophets said, even though they had this, like, you know, direct connection. They say in the time, certain times in there were prophecy schools that were going on in the land of Israel. There were thousands of prophets. So you would like, you know, Tzfat, I'm sure, was one of, you know, there were prophecy schools here and, you know, all around. You know, you walk in and it was probably a very holy, deep, meditative experience, which is very Kabbalistic, because actually the schools of prophecy were connecting to the higher realms, which is what we're actually going to talk about, because in the Star of David is a meditative and a Kabbalistic paradigm. And this is what is going on over here within this verse, the six expressions, right? So the first one, Achre Hashem Elokechem Telechu. What does that mean? After Hashem, you shall go. You shall follow. What does that refer to? After Hashem. So after Hashem refers to the challenge, that when there's a challenge, which we call a nisayon, a nisayon is there's a spark of godliness within a situation that is not readily recognizable. In other words, when we think about godliness, we think it's obvious, but what the way it's a nisayon is explained in on the Kabbalistic realm is that there's a spark of godliness in this challenge, that the only way to raise up this spark is to not even to contend with it. It's to be able to look be it's to be able to look beyond it or above it, and to be able to withstand it, and to
it being the challenge.
So on this level, the Alter Rebbe explains, Achrei Hashem Elokechem, we're going after Hashem. In other words, we're not feeling in the closeness of Hashem when we are, God forbid, in a challenge. And we always are. And according to many Kabbalists, the reasons why we're in this world is to actually be challenged. And so God is not obvious in our world, in our life. And so it seems like we're following something which is not obvious, something which is hidden, and we have to prevail and to be persistent in not having that challenge bring us down. Because the challenge is a potential. It's a gift from Hashem. It's light, but that light is not something that we could understand. The only way that we can access that light is to be able to dig deeper within.
But you're almost talking about like a light in the midst of the darkness, which is not easy to
Nope, that's what we're in this world. That's why we're here. There's a nisayon, but the nisayon in Hebrew means a test, but it also means, nes means a flag. Because when we're able to persist, then we are almost but eating that energy bar. That light is there, but it's an energy bar. And when we have it, it's almost, you remember the Pac-Man? Like you get that and like you become uplifted and better off because of it until you get another one. And then you have to, and now it's not like you could rest on your laurels from the previous one. Now it's another one. And it's once again, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem. It's like, Ve'oto Tirao. So let's go on a little bit. We'll come back to this. Ve'oto Tirao, and you shall have awe of him or fear of him. That's the second step. The second step is to, because so as we are in the challenge, we're basically, we're on the go. We're on the run, like man on the run. Like, you know, this is happening, but, and we're figuring out how we could dig deeper to be able to prevail within the challenge. The second aspect is v'oto tirao, you shall have awe of him or have fear. And that represents, or that is the sense of presence, which is what awe really is on a deeper level. Like you were mentioning, it's not just fear, but it's more of a presence, a recognition of a higher presence that is here within my life. There is a feeling of awe when we stand by a beautiful mountain top, right? Canyon. By the Grand Canyon. It's wherever you are, you see a beautiful, you're, wow. Like, wow. You know, you exactly. You, right? We are wowed. All of a sudden, you don't have to go anywhere. You become present by the thing, by the experience. Ve'oto tirao. The second step is finding the experience of awe, which is not easy for us as much as it maybe used to be, when you could very easily find an awesome experience. It was not cliche awesome, but just it's awesome because it's, you know, every other word is awesome, but it really is awesome. It really is an awesome experience, which is why, you know, we want to have experiences, because we want to feel that awesomeness. You know, when we want to hike, we want to feel that. When we are doing certain activities, you know, if it's scuba diving or if it's doing a parachute, whatever, right? You're feeling that sense of Hashem that is wow, here, present, and you feel alive from it, because now you're feeling godliness. Beforehand, it's hidden. Achrei, you're hiding. Why? Like, I don't want you to be hidden from me. I want to be close to you. I want to feel you. And that's the second aspect of tirao. It's, we're feeling the awe. And then v'et mitzvotav tishmor, you shall safeguard the mitzvot, which the mitzvot are our good deeds. And the Talmud says in Tractate Sota that it's possible to lose your good deeds. It's possible, not your Torah learning per se, but your good deeds, like it says, avera mechaba mitzvah, that a negative deed could put out a good deed that you've done. It's just that's what the Talmud says. So, in other words, we should never rest on our laurels and say, you know, I've done this and I've done that and I'm all good to go. You know, even we mentioned Rabbi Yochanan, even him after 120, after everything he's done, he's like, I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. Vet mitzvot av tishmoru means you've got to have. It's also a sense of awe. But it's a sense of not awe in the sense of like an experiential feeling, but it's a sense of almost like I have to be cautious of where I go, what I do, who I want to really interact with, right? What I want to, like, how much do I want to partake in that? How much do I want to consume this? How much do I want to be on this platform, on this show, on this thing? It's like, you know, we're flooded, you know, by so much that we can go to and that. And we should realize, like, with mitzvot of tishmor, if you want to be connected spiritually in tune and happy, and what you have to guard what you're doing, you know, to safeguard, you know, where you're at. To, you know, you have like a little blossoming tree and a lot little blossoming, like sprouting little shrub over there. You're going to put a little protection around it. You're going to, you know, because you don't want anything or anyone to come and get it. So also us, you know, realize the growth that we do and what we do, to just respect that and honor it and, you know, love it and also protect it from people and from situations which may be detrimental to that inner space that you are in. What's that?
How do you protect it?
Well, you become cautious. You learn how to be cautious, from experiences that are not in line and in sync with where you intrinsically want to go, where your compass is meant to be taking you. And now you're not protecting that because you're either partaking in other experiences or interacting with other people which are not bringing you up, bringing you down. And energy drainers, which, you know, there could be people like that that are just like, you know, yeah, and sometimes the best thing is to say, like, I can't talk to you right, you know, now, sorry.
Now forever or now not for?
Well, it depends who, but again, every situation is on its own. Yud Gimel, hey. Sure. So let's go on a little bit further, and then we'll come back to it. Mitzvotav tishmoru. Again, we were at the mitzvotav. Uvakolo tishmaun, and you shall listen to his voice. What is listening to his voice refer to? It refers to learning, to listening to the voice of Torah. This is the third one. Yeah. Four. So listening to the voice, in other words, plugging in to Torah learning, plugging into Hashem. You know, it says that, like, the Baal Shem Tov used to say, like, when he used to put on tefillin, it was almost like an IV that went into him of spirituality, of kedusha, and he would. So, like, learning is also in the same way that we wrap our minds around what it is that we're learning. The thing wraps around our minds and we become unified with the information, with divine, higher, godly words of Torah, and we bring it into us. V'kolo tishma'u, right? And so learning, proactively learning, is such a key, and it's something that we need to do every single day. Just like we eat every single day, we need to learn every single day. Like, we eat three times a day, so, you know, you should learn at least once a day, right? Whatever it may be. It could be like, you know, the weekly parsha. It could be this learning, that, whatever it is, it's spiritual nutrition that we're bringing into us. Daily learning is so powerful, is so key. So the fifth thing is va'oto ta'avodu, and you shall worship, or you should work, serve, better said, you should serve him. And the idea of service is the idea that there's a service not for the self, there's a service to, in order to give, because there's service that we sometimes do in order to receive something. But when we realize that ve'oto ta'avodu, that when we want to do something, we want to do it in a way which is wholehearted, in a way that is in sync with Hashem's will, right? And the way to do that is to realize, where am I in the place of service? Am I in the place of service that I want to receive more than I want to give, or the place of service that I want to give? And to be in that mind frame, that place of I want to give more than I want to receive. And I want to receive not for myself, if I'm receiving, and we all need to receive, and it should be with great abundance on all levels, right? Gashmius, Ruchnius, and, you know, on all levels that everyone needs, including Shidduchim for our Mamish, take it with me, Ad Mamish. And Hashem wants to give us an incredible abundance, right? Hashem does give us incredible abundance, but realize I'm taking this abundance and I want to do something incredible with it. I want to serve Him with it, as opposed to saying, I have it and now thank you so much, it's for myself. Rather, I'm making an edifice. I'm making a house for Hashem. Making a binyan adead. I'm making with my job, with my career, with my whatever it is, with my yacht. I have this yacht, you know, but I'm using it to whatever, either be more relaxed and to meditate, to pray to Hashem, to take it on a nonprofit, things. You have a yacht?
No, have you heard of the four stages of giving and receiving?
Go ahead.
So the first stage, it's like this is where you start off the childhood, mm-hmm. is you receive.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is that you give to receive.
Right.
Which I think that's like a more baseline mm-hmm. for most people. The next one is you give to give, just for the sake of giving. But the last one is receiving for the sake of giving. It's like the highest level. So everything that comes your way is for the purpose of
giving. Right, being eternal. Yeah. Yeah,
but that like beautiful. That ladder really changed it for me.
Yeah,
you can see how like you play in different parts on the ladder.
Yeah, so
this is really your goal that last.
It's amazing. So the four stages of receiving and giving, right? There's receiving for receiving, and then giving for receiving. There's giving for giving, which could be expenditure. You're giving, but you're exhausted, because you're not receiving, right? And the receiving for giving. And actually there's a beautiful Torah on this, that these letters are the letters of Tinok. Tinok is a baby, which is immature. A baby receives to receive. And then there's within it, we have Tikkun, which is the whole balance of giving in order to receive and giving to give. That's the world of Tikkun. Where, why am I really receiving? Why am I really giving? And why am I really giving if I'm not receiving? And we're basically fixing that. That's the world of Tikkun. Same letters as Tinok, right? And then the last letter is Nituk. Nituk is disconnected. That I'm disconnected from the sense of I'm basically a connection, like Moshe Rabbeinu was. He was this, you know, channel of for Hashem. So
there is another word, nikiyut. Nikiyut is cleaning. When you are clean, you just don't take anything for you. You just receive, and then you give.
Very
you
nice.
Receive and you give, and this is you clean. You don't leave right. anything inside you. Just...
Mm. Beautiful.
It's a recently
yeah.
I understood this word.
Yeah,
nikiyut.
Nikiyut.
Nikiyut is
nikiyut.
Clean.
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 Tinok comes with
a lot of it, yeah. So that's where we have service. We've got service over here, and that's the fifth level, right? The fifth level is to serve, and you shall serve Him. And then the last level is uvotid bakun, and Him you shall cling onto, devekut. In other words, the level of clinging on to Hashem, to the infinity of Hashem, and being, there's two levels of Dvekut. We're learning this. We have a Baal Shem Tov series And the first level of Dvekut is that our soul is just connecting to Hashem. And the other level of Dvekut is that we're being hugged by Hashem. And we're always davuk to him because he's constantly, we're enveloped within him. So we are clinging on to him. We're within him. We're within makom, right? Within that place. And the other one is that we are davuk to him. It's almost like we're clinging to something outside of us, and it's almost like this line of like the umbilical cord that's connected to infinity. So these six levels are the levels of progression from the state of Nisayon to the level of Dvekut. Because we can't just jump into the Dvekut, into being enveloped in that oneness of God, of godliness, being just connected. We have to go through the stages. What are the stages? There are six stages. The first stage, once again, is to be able to recognize a challenge and to be able to go after something which we're not even seeing. So it's Achre Hashem Elokechem. And that's a very difficult thing. So this represents which level of the six ongoing mitzvot. Okay. Or before we do that, within the sfirot, there are the six sfirot that we talked about. So the first sphere of entrance is the entrance of Achre Hashem Elokechem Telechu. So when there's a nisayon, who was in a nisayon? Yosef, a tzaddik. He was incarcerated. Yaakov, yeah, but Yosef Atzag was incarcerated. He went through this challenge, and he was able to withstand the challenge. So that's Achre Hashem Elokechem Telechu. That's the sphere of Yesod. Ve'oto tira'u, and him you shall fear. What is him you shall fear? You should have awe of. That's Hod. No, because we're going up. No, we're going from Yesod. Yesod and then Hod. Hod is tirau, you shall have awe. And that's what awe is. That's what Hod is. Hod is like, yes. Hod is acknowledgement of Hashem. And it's basically Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, his day is Hod Shebehod. Right. So we can't get into the specifics of it necessarily, but it's basically, it's an awe of Hashem. That's what, which gives us humility.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you see something, when we see something so incredible that Hashem has made, we are humbled. There's no other words for it. Yes.
You connected before to gratitude, right? They're all connected.
Well, yeah, it does give you gratitude, right? Yeah. You know, when.
Sorry, could you just repeat? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
could
yeah.
you just repeat what one is again? You shall.
You shall go after Hashem. Right? After okay. Hashem, Okarim, you should go. And that corresponds to the sphere of Yesod. Which is
that's with regard to challenges, like you specifically met. So with regard to the tests in our lives, okay.
Exactly, like Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef the Tzadik went through his challenges, and he had to go after Hashem. He was in jail for 13 years, right? 12 years, and he was sold by his brothers. He went through this challenge, that challenge, and he withstood it, and that's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. And Ve'oto Tira'u, and you shall have awe of Hashem. And what does that refer to? Now we're climbing up to the sphere of Hod, where you have an awe of Hashem. V'et mitzvotav tishmor, you shall keep his mitzvot. That is netzach, to have fortitude, to be able to say, I am not going to speak to this person. I am not going to partake in this thing. I have mitzvotav tishmor. I'm keeping strong, right? Uvekolo tishmau is tiferet, because what is tiferet? Tiferet is voice, right? It's the idea of the voice. Kabbalah says that tiferet is the voice, And Malchut is the enunciation. There's the voice, which is the Akol Kol Yaakov, which is Tiferet, right? So Bekolo Tishmau is Torah, which is Tiferet, which is the idea of the middle column. That's what Torah is a middle column. So we're listening Kolo Tishmau Veotota Avodu. What's Avoda? Gvura. You're working hard. You have Gvura. You have Gvura. You have Avoda. You're working. You're having Avoda. You're sticking to it. You're right. That's Avoda. That's Gvura. Uvotid Bakun. You should cling on to him. That's Chesed. That's the Chesed that the world was created with. The world was created with Olam, which is love, right? The world was created through Chesed, and Dveikut is really connecting to what? To not, what is it? We're connecting to Hashem's kindness, which is, right? That's the name of God, which is the 72-letter name of Hashem, which is kindness. Hashem is constantly revitalizing the world every single second, constantly doing good for us every single second. We're enveloped by him. He is good. Teva hatov lehitiv, which is olam chesed ibanin. The world was created through chesed. So when we're in the frequency of chesed, we're in the frequency of devekut as well. When we have devekut, when we're clinging on and we're perpetuating goodness, we're perpetuating Hashem. Mm-hmm. That's why the Kohanim are called chesed. Right, the whole idea of chesed is perpetuating Hashem's goodness within the world, right? And we're all called like Memlechet Kohanim. The significance of the 72-letter name is beyond this class, but basically there's 72-letter name of Hashem, which is Gematria Chesed, which is the primary, we could say, one of the primary meditations in Kabbalah of Hashem's manifestations within the world. You know, there's different permutations. So it's the deepest, like one of the deepest subjects and meditations in all of Kabbalah. But essentially that's Dveikut, and there's endless amount of Dveikut that we have and that we will have, you know, in the world of souls. That's what they're doing. They're Davuk and Hashem and can continue to be, right, on and on. So we connect to that. But these are the six dimensions and the six spherot of ascension that we're going up. But yet, what's the number seven? What is the number seven? Because we could be davuk, and in a sense, it feels like we're leaving the world when we're doing that. And that's not always reality, because much of day-to-day life is, I don't know, I got to persist in this. This person's calling me up. That's happening. You know, I don't feel like doing that. I'm being tested here. Well, what about that? Well, that's the middle of it all, and that's the observation. That's what we call the nefesh hasichlis, the intellectual mind, which is able to discern and to choose, right? Because that's what we really have. We have the ability to choose, and the ability to choose is within the six, within all six. And it gives us the ability to say, I am going to not be swayed and brought down by the challenge. I am going to look for truly authentic, awesome experiences, which are healthy and good and long lasting, right?
So it's like the free will part of it?
Yeah, right. And that's the middle. That's the ir miklat, right? That we're going into, right? That's you know, that we're basically entering. And then I'm choosing to persist in good things, what I am doing, and not to, like, you know, sway, you know, get too all over the place. And again, it's so difficult. Like, I feel like nowadays, you know, especially with the amount of knowledge and things which are constantly going on and bombarded with, to be able to be more present and so that we are able to choose and not be overtaken by the test, right? And have that Star of David, that Magen David protection, right? And a major day to in order to do that is the Shabbat that we go into. Shabbat is such a brilliant thing by Hashem. Hashem did such a great job, you know, by giving us the Shabbat. Because within the Shabbat, what do we have? We go into that space that we're able to cultivate just presence within 24 hours where we're like, no phone, no this, no that. You just have quiet. You just have quiet. You have presence. You have bliss. You have, oh, now you're in the center of the Magen David. Now you're able to go into whatever's going to happen on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then, you know, Botid Bakun, hopefully, you know, Friday ends off, you know, it caps off the week in a great way. Botid Bakun, or you're still standing, you know, by Friday afternoon, there's both polar extremes of the way the week could look like. And then Shabbos comes along and it's like a rejuvenation and a recalibration of everything.
What spirit does that relate to?
That's Malchut. Shabbos HaMalka. Lech Adodi Likrat Kala. Right? It's the bride. It's the Kala. It's the sphere of Malchut. It's King David. Right? King David is the sphere of Malchut. The Magen David. Right? And it's the seventh day. What's that?
It's the center.
Exactly. It's the entrance. It's what you hold on to. Because if you hold on to one of the sides, you're not going to be protected. Mm-hmm. To be protected by any enemy, so you have to be holding it in the center, don't you? An arrow's coming. I'm protecting myself. I'm not putting it here. I'm protecting myself by being centered.
But it comes above the chesed.
So Malchut is within them all.
Like
well, Malchut gives to them all. It's basically like Shabbat is the center of the week, really. It's not the weekend, but it's the center of our, if we divide it from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and that received from Shabbat, and then, or rather right. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we have Shabbat, and then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Shabbat, right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
And it's exactly it's infusing its light, right, to all directions, and that's what the Magen David really is. It's not just the corners; it's the circular. It's what's inside that's really giving its vitality to all of the other sides.
That's so beautiful. It makes me feel like when I put my Magen David on every morning, it's almost like an amulet. If I embrace all this exactly. teaching, think of those, when I put it on, it becomes like an amulet.
100%. And it is. Absolutely is. There people make all these different amulets, but the Magen David is actually 100% an amulet. Yeah. You know, we don't want to think of it as something externally that's an amulet, but it's supposed to remind us. And that's why I started off the class saying more than nationalistic symbolism and cultural symbolism, blah, 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 which, you know, which is important. But most people are not aware of the deeper significance of this because the significance is that we're entering the Malchut of within us and the different dimensions in connection to Hashem. So how do these relate to the six ongoing mitzvot? We mentioned the six ongoing mitzvot that we could constantly have, that we constantly think about. So we have emuna in Hashem, just belief in Hashem, not looking at other gods, right? Unity of Hashem, love of Hashem, yira of Hashem, and not following after your heart's desire. So where would you say emuna would happen? On which realm?
I would say yesod.
Yes.
Isn't that the foundation?
Exactly. It's tzaddik be'emunato yichia, that a tzaddik will live by his emuna. Tzaddik be'em, and Yosef, a tzaddik, in withstanding, and in order to withstand a challenge, you don't need intelligence necessarily. You don't need an amazing heart of like, you know, a fiery, or what you need is emuna, 100%.
Wow.
To withstand the challenge, it's just emuna. Emuna, right? Bitachon. You have emuna in Hashem. A simple emuna, exactly. Like, I don't know. Exactly. It's just simply emuna.
There is a difference between 2 and 6. Lo yu lachem elokim acherim. And
no, so lotatur achelevchem, you should not follow after your heart. Vachelevchem is not to think of foreign, of foreign desires, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Why it's not the same like two? If you're going after your passion, you're going.
Well, one is a god, right? Okay, I mean it's
the same.
So it's not, but it's not exactly the same. Lo ye'elcha Elokim is taking another foreign god or entity and saying that this is a god that I am now serving. You're right that people could serve their desires. So I hear you that there is a similarity, but one is more of a desire, of an emotion that one is not able to conquer.
Well, the one is the foreign gods, right? So it's kind of like an admonition against what the Israelites came back to the
right. Israeli, foreign right? Gods.
The foreign gods and things mm-hmm. like that. But the other part is like what you were saying, it's in the big part of the Ma, I think.
Yeah.
Don't let your eyes and your hearts deceive you, because if you go that way,
that's any movies.
Well, it uses a very strong language in the Hebrew, says no name, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I heard this from Rav Ginsburg, Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, on the Magen David. So he explained these 6 mitzvot, which are ongoing mitzvot, that they are represented, they are within the Magen David. And basically says as follows, that emuna in Hashem, depending how you look at it, and again, not putting it in context of what we were just learning, the 6 phases of Achre Hashem Elokechem Telechu, necessary for now. But putting it in the context of the Magen David, that it represents emuna in Hashem. And that's above us. So emuna in Hashem is above us, right? Recognizing that Hashem is infinite and above us. Lo ye lecha Elokim achrim is b'shamayim mal v'al aretz mitachat, what is below us. So that's, right? Hashem is above me. Hashem is below me. And Ahavat Hashem, love of Hashem, is the Shema, exactly. The Yichud Hashem, the unity of Hashem, is in front of me. Right? Is in front of me. Lo taturu, not following my heart's eyes, is in back of me. Ahavat Hashem is in the right of me, and Yirat Hashem is on the left of me. So we're basically surrounded. We're basically surrounded by this cube.
When you started to speak, I remembered all the meditation. Yeah.
Today?
Today?
Yeah. Ashkacha Pratis.
It was just like
I didn't
so
even,
crazy when you started to
so,
speak about it.
That's unbelievable. So, right. We didn't plan this. This only happens in Tzfat.
You didn't plan it?
No. What's that?
We also had a class last night. We talked about the money. But
really?
Now it's just like this.
Okay. So there you go. So once again, emuna in Hashem is above. You should not have foreign gods is below us. Yichud Hashem is in front of us. Hashem is right. The love of Hashem is on my right. The awe of Hashem is on my left. And lotaturo is not to follow is behind me.
There's no eyes. It's good.
Right, and not to follow like the things that are so.
Yes,
yeah, because love is kindness, which is the idea of the right, yeah,
right.
And the awe is on the left. So, yeah,
that, when you get a chance, can you jot that down and send that to us? That would be awesome,
yes. That's
question number one. And question number two is that relates to the prayer of the four archangels, does it not?
Yes. Right? Mimini, well, there's four. There's really six, by the way,
right.
Of archangels. There are four, but they really are six again.
What's the prayer?
So Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, Raphael, Nuriel, and Uriel.
Uriel is in front of you.
Isn't Hashem above us?
Yeah.
Shekhinah.
I thought Shekhinah was above us. So who's above and below? Which are the archangels?
One second. Michael, Gabriel, Uriel.
Uriel, Raphael.
Raphael, Nuriel, and...
You said Uriel.
And Gabriel.
No, Gabriel is on the right, on the left.
The left.
But you're missing on the bottom.
Gabriel,
Uriel. One second. Nuriel. Uriel. Wait, one second. The acronym is, where's my pen? Sorry. Argaman. Yeah. Right. There are five, but then Uriel is divided into another one. So let's leave this out for now. But I'll get you. We'll, yeah. But it's. Yes, I will, Jane. I will jot this down, and I think it's a great meditation to really to go into. That all of us could really put ourselves into Talia was mentioning, you know, that whether or not we are wearing a Magen David, or we are looking or we're thinking of one, or just symbolically the idea of entering that place of
I read a meditation of entering into a Magen David. I have to find it. I'll find it in a book and
okay.
Scan it.
I'm gonna create one, God willing, this soon. Yeah, I think it's a great one. What's that?
She was referring to prayer.
No, a Magen David meditation.
Yeah.
But we could all just, you know, really spend some time, maybe daily, you know, putting ourselves into a meditation.
Kind of like you sat there, then
yeah.
And
okay, guys. So, yes. Exactly. It's a beautiful color, blue. Mm-hmm. Secret of the Magen David. Oh, wow. That's amazing.
So that's is it cool. Recommended to wear Magen David?
It's, you don't have to wear it, but there's the idea of there's a, as you see, there's a lot of very, there's a lot of significance to it. Do I don't personally, but I feel like I do wear it internally. You know, I definitely do. Solomon, I see that. Secret of the Magen David.
That's true. Many people forget now.
Cool.
That's there you go. This is by Rabbi Turkman.
Oh, Rabbi Turkman.
Yeah. So he really goes deeply into all the secrets of the Magen David and shares different meditations. And it's a really, really high vibe book. And then I recently saw from the Magen David, you can write every letter of the Jewish alphabet. And I saw that and I was fascinated by it. So it took the Jewish star and it showed how every letter is in the Jewish star.
That's amazing.
That was totally amazing. Fascinating to me. Yeah. So thank you for sharing. Yeah.
Yeah.
This
many blessings, everyone. I want to wish you a beautiful Shabbat. And any questions, comments, any
is that any... the portion where it says that because you were talking about free will and
free will, yeah, definitely.
And it tells you that you can choose to stay between life and good and death and evil. It's a different one.
Yeah.
It is this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What does it mean, do not stray after your eyes? Can you explain that more?
So, Cindy, the six sides of the lulav are the six sides of really of up and down of everything. Yeah. Of all directions.
You were wondering about the straying of the eyes.
Can you explain?
What's the straying of the eyes? What it is your eyes. Your eyes and your heart will deceive you.
Right, the heart.
Follow them rather than following.
Can you explain this?
Not following your eyes is not being duped by marketing. By marketing and how everything looks like and how this person is dressing and how you need to be just like them and just how you get, like, okay, like, don't follow. That's like a mate. That's why marketing is a gazillion dollar, it's there to get your attention, and don't follow that because you have to, you have to look beyond it. Yeah. Go ahead. All right, everyone. So many blessings. Wishing you a beautiful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone. Shabbat Shalom.